All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is June 10th, 2026. Happy Inflation Day to those who celebrate. Today we got CPI, and it was largely in line with expectations, which isn't great, Bob, because the expectations were pretty high. CPI came in at 4.2% year over year. Again, exactly as expected, but up from 3.8% in April. So trending in the wrong direction. The market's actually staging a little bit of a relief rally right now, and I use that term lightly. Like the NASDAQ was down like 350 points, and then CPI came out, and now it's down 200 points as of the making of this video. So the market's initial move was up, even though the tech sell-off is underway again this morning. And I don't know if algorithms are arm wrestling when the data first comes out. It certainly wasn't a good report. It just may be a little bit of relief that it wasn't catastrophic. On a month-over-month basis, CPI hit 0.5%. That's, again, in line with expectations. Down slightly from 0.6% in April. Again, that doesn't mean prices went down. It just means they went up a little bit slower in April, which is not really much relief to anybody. Core inflation, which takes out food and energy, hit 2.9% year-over-year. In line with expectations, but up from 2.8% last month. Now, core inflation should not be affected, at least not directly, by what's happening with the price of oil. But eventually, higher oil prices does bleed into higher prices for everything else, and we're starting to see that as well. So core inflation trending in the wrong direction. Now, none of this data that came out today changes anything as far as the odds of the next move at the Federal Reserve. I was looking at what CME futures were pricing in before and after CPI came out. That's unchanged here. So it doesn't really change the picture that the next move from the Fed will most likely be a hike. Also, 60% of the move was driven by the index for energy. Again, the war in Iran driving that mostly. Now, there's one caveat to this report that some people might be overlooking. The actual change in the CPI index was 4.249%, which means we missed 4.3% CPI by 1/1000th of a percent. A rounding error kept that from going to 4.3. And if we had ticked to 4.3 from 3.8, slightly higher than expectations, the market would be having an entirely different reaction right now. So we dodged a 1000th of a percent bullet there with that 4.249% increase. Also going on this morning, we've got a lot of AI stories. That sound you hear, that's the AI bubble bursting, guys. It is in progress. First one we've got is SoftBank this morning. That stock is down almost 10% after they have failed to secure a $6 billion margin loan against their shares in OpenAI. Now, we've reported on this that they were trying to raise $10 billion a couple of weeks ago. They lowered that target to $6 billion because they were having trouble finding takers at the bank. And now they can't even get $6 billion in borrowed money against their stake in OpenAI. Now, keep in mind, SoftBank has $60 billion worth of shares in OpenAI. That's the valuation of their stake. And they can't borrow a tenth of that amount. So what does that mean? That means the banks don't trust the valuation of OpenAI. Now, they won't tell you that when every big bank in Wall Street is out there a few weeks from now shopping around the OpenAI IPO, talking about what a great opportunity it is. They won't tell you we wouldn't lend 10% against its current valuation. But yeah, when it's their money on the line, suddenly they act differently. Not good for SoftBank. That stock has taken a hit. And SoftBank is one of the big financiers of this data center build-out. So who's going to pay for it if SoftBank can't borrow against it? And again, they're borrowing against their shares in SoftBank, and they bought those with money that they borrowed against their shares in ARM. SoftBank is they are up to their eyeballs in debt here. Meanwhile, we've got Supermicro. It's hard to keep these company names straight. SoftBank and Supermicro and everybody else. Supermicro is also in the press this morning. They are planning to raise $7 billion in equity, and the stock is down 12%. So Supermicro is the latest company to dilute shareholders in order to raise capital to keep paying for data center buildouts. Where are those jabronis on CNBC who keep telling me that the data center buildout is supported by robust big tech earnings? If the data center buildout is supported by robust tech earnings, then how come they're trying to use margin loans, special purpose vehicles, off balance sheet debt and equity raises to pay for this crap? It's almost like the buildout is not indeed supported by robust big tech earnings. So look, Supermicro needs more money. They want to build out data centers, or maybe they're issuing all that stock to pay for the legal fees for Chucky Lang and company because three of their employees, or is it six, who's keeping count, are being indicted for smuggling chips to China. Or maybe they need that money to buy new hair dryers in order to peel the serial numbers off of GPUs and mislabel them as they export them to not China by way of Singapore or Malaysia or who knows what other country. Either way, they need money. You know, maybe they need money to bribe BDO to sign off on their books because of their second accounting scandal in 4 years. Doesn't matter why. Supermicro needs money and they're diluting their shareholders. You know, you ever walk by a product in a store and it catches your eye, not because it's interesting and because the price is right, but because you look at this product and you think to yourself, what imbecile, who in their right mind would ever buy this effing product? Ladies and gentlemen, Supermicro shares. Also going on this morning, Crusoe. That's a big data center builder. They have paused work on a 1.8 gigawatt data center in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And the key phrase here, at the request of their customer. Oh, well, yeah, that sound you hear. That is the AI bubble popping in real time, guys. Pausing work on a data center at the request of the customer, which is probably OpenAI, although they're not saying who it is. Translation, they don't have the money to pay for it, and so stop building it. So what's going to support this data center build out now? Where's those robust big tech earnings that I hear so much about? Oh, yeah, it never really existed to begin with. Now, not to be outdone, as soon as that story breaks about this massive 1.8 gigawatt data center being paused because the customer said we can't afford it, or at the request of our customer, OpenAI is real quick with a press release, or at least leaking a story via the information that they are considering leasing a 10 gigawatt data center in Ohio now. All right, so first of all, 10 gigawatts, let's just put that in perspective, guys. That is the amount of power a city of 8 million people would consume. 1 megawatt's about 800 homes. So 800 homes. So that's 8 million homes. You got to multiply that by about 4, the average size. So that's a city of about 32 million people. All right, yikes. This is ridiculously large. This data center does not exist, and they're getting desperate. Now, according to the text in this information article, OpenAI is weighing leasing this data center, again, that doesn't exist. NVIDIA will be backstopping the lease payments. So there's NVIDIA, number one, buying their own chips, giving money to OpenAI so OpenAI can buy the chips, and then NVIDIA is going to rent those chips just in case OpenAI can't afford them. So, hey, look, more circular financing. Oh, that's, nobody saw this coming, right? If only somebody had been pounding on the effing table for the last 3.5 years that this whole bubble is supported by hot air, that it's nothing more than the biggest accounting fraud in human history supported by hopium. If only somebody had been warning us about this whole time. It's a $500 billion project. And here's the best part. A 20-year lease they're going to sign. OpenAI is not even going to exist in 20 years. And even if they do, this data center will be obsolete in 5. So why are they leasing it for 20 years? Well, it's like, quick, come out with some big, impressive soundbite with gigantic numbers before people notice that other data center project in Wyoming just got canceled. And last but not least, we got to talk about the Korean stocks. Their sell-off in Korean chip names continued yesterday. The Kospi Index down another 4.5%. That's after it fell 8.4% 2 days ago. Then it rallied 8.2%. Now it's down 4.5%. The volatility in Korea is still wacky. And once again, we got to talk about the Kim Ace SK Hynix single stock leveraged ETF. It's not doing what it's supposed to. SK Hynix stock was up 16%, but the index fell, or the ETF fell 27%. It's not an inverse ETF. It's a levered ETF. It's not doing what it's supposed to. I warned about this just a few days ago. Remember, guys, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't buy single stock ETFs. And if you do know what you're talking about, you would never buy a levered single stock ETF anyway. So just don't freaking buy them. That is the takeaway here. Guys, we have got a lot to talk about today. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget the like button. Any of you new guys, hit the subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, as we do this one every business day. And that is some good wake-up juice this morning to go with our inflation report. Right now, the S&P 500 is down 44 points ahead of the opening bell. You will notice, though, a little bit of a rally here, 825, 830. This was the CPI report. So we did see stocks stage a little bit of a bounce here. Now we're rolling back over, still in the red on the morning. The Dow is down 276 points, or about 0.5% lower. Again, a lot of that, a little bit of a rally here after the CPI came out at 830. Now we're heading lower again. And the NASDAQ is off 292 points, 1% lower. NASDAQ had a nice gap up on CPI as well, now rolling over. So it seems the market has gotten over its initial enthusiasm for that CPI report. We talked about the KOSPI index, guys. Take a look at this one. These are daily candles. And again, this is the index that is doing this. That is a big freaking deal. Down another 4.5% yesterday, after that big red candle Monday, then a little bit of a rally Tuesday, and now we're pretty much back to where we opened. The Korean volatility continues. And then we've got this leverage ETF goes haywire in Korea with wrong way 40% moves. And again, guys, these ETFs, these leveraged single stock ETFs, they are dog shit products that are run by companies that are price gouging you on fees. And when the rubber meets the road, they don't do what they advertise. A leverage exchange-traded fund tracking SK Hynix deviated sharply from the underlying stock's move for a second day, underscoring the risk of investing in such products that have attracted strong retail interest. The Kim Ace SK Hynix single stock leverage ETF, designed to deliver twice the chipmaker's daily return, plunged by 20% on Tuesday, even as SK Hynix jumped 16%. The divergence followed Monday's dislocation when the ETF soared 50% despite the stock falling nearly 8%. You thought you were buying the dip if you bought this thing on Monday, when in actuality you were buying the rip. And then when the stock did turn and recover, it went down after you bought at an elevated price, because these ETFs are just garbage, guys. They're marketed to low information retail investors. And I warned about this on my live stream yesterday, or was it 2 days ago? Who's counting? I think it was Monday. I warned, if it can go in the upward direction when the stock goes down, then it could just as easily do the opposite. You thought you were buying the dip. You just lost half your money. The back-to-back wrong way moves have intensified scrutiny of the ETF manager, Korea Investment Management Co., which said yesterday's anomaly for the $37 million product stemmed from a lack of liquidity. On Tuesday, the Korean exchange identified three funds, including Kim Ace, and potential candidates for an investment warning due to a divergence in their net asset value and market prices. Such dislocations are rare, but not unprecedented. Yeah, they're rare. That's why it happened twice in 3 days, said Yong In Yoon, chief executive officer at Fibonacci Asset Management. ETFs typically rely on market makers to keep prices aligned with underlying holdings. However, during the closing auction, those safeguards can weaken, particularly in niche products with limited trading volume. All right, guys, these are just garbage products. Don't get involved. That's the only thing I can suggest is do not get involved in leveraged single stock ETFs. All right, looking over at the DXY, we've got a dollar that is pretty much unmoved here, 99.92. It's lower by 4 basis points. We did have the dollar weaken a little bit on that inflation report. Now we're recovering. Again, this is the algorithms arm wrestling after a CPI report. I don't think anything really changes about expectations for the next rate move with this inflation number. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are going a whole bunch of nowhere this morning. The 30-year yield, 5.009%. That's lower by a fraction of 1 point. The 10-year yield, 4.534%. That's higher by a half of a point. The 2-year yield is at 4.114, lower by one basis point. And the 1-month, 3.6601, down by a tenth of a hundredth of a percent. Not a lot of movement happening in bonds here. Looking over at Bitcoin, it's been a little bit volatile this morning. We were down a few hundred bucks. Then CPI came out and it rallied a couple of hundred dollars. Now we're back to 170 bucks lower here. $61,516 for Bitcoin as priced on Coinbase. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got spot gold is lower by 100 bucks here. $4,158 for spot gold, lower by 2.4%. Let's pause here and look at the gold chart, guys, because this is not a good look for gold here. We can see the chart's been rolling over after that big sell-off in January, and we're now threatening to take out this low that we saw in mid-March here. And guys, there's not a lot of support below this level for gold. The only support I can see would be this level here that we hit late or mid last year. We hit it a couple of times. That's around $3,400. Appears to be the support for gold here as we're threatening to break into a three handle. Just be careful, guys. I still like the shiny long term. I still think it's a good way to hedge your bets, but you know, high interest rates moving higher, liquidity worries in tech and in crypto, not good things for gold here. And the chart is just, it's looking ugly. What can I say? Meanwhile, spot silver is also down this morning, lower by 80 cents, $64.50, 1.3% lower. And again, if that gold chart is rolling over, it's going to drag silver down with it. But again, I like the shiny as a long-term means of wealth preservation and an insurance policy, not necessarily as a day trade here. It's looking pretty ugly. Copper, meanwhile, lower by a half a percent. Platinum, lower by 1.67%. Palladium is higher by 1.4%. And crude oil is up by about $1.30 here, 1.5% higher at $89.50 for July WTI crude. Let's talk about what's going on with oil here because peace could break out at any moment. U.S. launches strikes on Iran in response to downed Apache helicopter. Jet fighters used precision munitions to hit Iranian radar sites and ground control stations in an attack that lasted several hours, U.S. Central Command said. But don't worry, guys, the ceasefire, it's still a thing. Trust me, bro. The U.S. launched military strikes Tuesday against Iran in retaliation for the downing of a U.S. Apache helicopter near the Strait of Hormuz, according to Central Command. The strikes, which lasted several hours and which the military said were carried out in self-defense, were directed by President Trump. The operation was a proportional response to recent attacks on U.S. forces and international commercial ships transiting regional waters, CENTCOM, which oversees U.S. forces in the Middle East, said in a statement released around 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The U.S. conducted three waves of attacks targeting Iranian air defenses and radar sites near the Strait of Hormuz, according to a senior U.S. official. Air Force and Navy jet fighters dropped precision munitions against the targets, which also included ground control stations, CENTCOM said in the statement. In response, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps launched a drone attack on the U.S. 5th Fleet in Bahrain, the IRGC said. Bahrain's Interior Ministry warned its citizens on social media to head to the nearest safe place, while Kuwait's army said on social media that it was intercepting incoming fire. Jordan State TV reported the armed forces shot down 5 missiles from Iran. All right, so no reports of any casualties on the U.S. side or on our allies' side here, although, you know, some of the reports I read said that most had been intercepted, as if to suggest not all were intercepted and some got through. The crew of the Apache was rescued. They were actually rescued by a drone boat in the water. That's a first. But yeah, more attacks in the Middle East here. And again, the jawboning seems to be working. Oil not reacting here, still below $90, barely moved by the missiles crisscrossing. You know, peace rockets passing each other in the sky over the Strait of Hormuz, and oil is unchanged. All right, but here's the big story this morning. It's CPI. There's the number there, 4.2%, in line with expectations, but up from 3.8%. Since the start of the war, we were at 2.4%. The CPI has nearly doubled from that level here, trending in the wrong direction. But again, this is pretty much exactly the level that the market was expecting. So it's not freaking out right now. Core inflation also increased to 2.9%, in line with expectations after a big jump to 2.8% in the month of April. Inflation trending in the wrong direction. So let's look at those categories and see where the inflation is. This is from BLS.gov. This is the latest news release. You've got your year-over-year number here on the far right. And then next to that is the month-over-month number for May, the month-over-month number for April, for March. So there's your 4.2% year-over-year number, which was up 0.5% from April, down slightly from the prior month. Food inflation was lower, just 0.2% for the month of May versus 0.5% in April. The energy index, that was a big one here. Energy up 3.9% for the month after rising 3.8% in April. So energy continues to go up and it's actually accelerating. The year-over-year number for May, 23.5%. That's more than 60% of the total move in the CPI was driven by energy. Of course, gasoline, a big chunk of that. Gasoline higher by 40%. 40.5% versus a year ago. Fuel oil higher by 58, almost 59% versus a year ago. Interestingly enough, electricity actually went down to 0.6% month over month after 2.1% in April, but still 5.9% year over year. Some of the other categories we're looking at here, new vehicles, two consecutive negative months for new vehicles, negative 0.3% in May after negative 0.2% in April. So new cars apparently getting a little cheaper. Used cars and trucks slightly higher by 0.1% after being unchanged a month earlier. We've got apparel went down a little bit from 0.6 to 0.3 month over month. Let's see, the shelter index, 0.3%. That's down sharply from 0.6% in April, but it's the same 0.3 that we had in March. So shelter continuing to contribute as well. Now, this number here, this is kind of interesting. And keep in mind that the headline number was 4.249%, that just a thousandth of a percent we missed rounding up to 4.3% and freaking everybody out. Because transportation services actually went negative for the month at negative 0.6 after rising 0.3% in April. Now, that's interesting because there are two main categories, really three main categories that drive shelter or transportation services. The biggest one is airline fares, and then you've got auto insurance and auto repair. Those three categories make up transportation services. All right. Airline fares sure as shit did not get cheaper last month. So how in the world is transportation services going lower as the world runs out of jet fuel? Did auto insurance and auto repairs suddenly get cheaper last month, so much cheaper that they offset the rise in jet fuel prices? Or just maybe we really needed that thousandth of a percent to get the rounding down to 4.2%, and we ran out of categories, so they're just like, whatever. Lower transportation services. So it be done. Either way, that number kind of stuck out at me as very odd. In fact, just not a believable number. And lo and behold, we miss rounding up to 4.3 by a thousandth of a point. Meanwhile, expectations for the next move at the Federal Reserve are pretty much unchanged here. We're looking now at, let's get December up here. The odds of what the Fed rate will be at after the December FOMC meeting, they're pretty much unchanged. You've got a 31.7% chance that the Fed does nothing through the rest of the year. There's only a 1.2% chance that the Fed cuts. All right, that's interesting because Kevin Warsh was put there to cut rates, and there's like a 99% chance he ain't going to cut. There's only a 31% chance that he does nothing. Everything else is a hike. 43% odds of one hike, 20% odds of two hikes, 3.8% odds of three hikes. And that little guy, I wouldn't worry about that little guy. Either way, guys, the next move from the Federal Reserve will almost certainly be an interest rate hike, which is not so good for our top-heavy AI build-out market. And let's talk about that top-heavy AI build-out, shall we? SoftBank's $6 billion OpenAI margin loan is said to face a snag, and shares drop over 9%. This one in TradingKey.com. During the Asian session on June 10th, sources familiar with the matter revealed that SoftBank Group's negotiations to secure a margin loan of at least $6 billion using its stake in OpenAI as collateral have failed to make progress. This comes just weeks after the company lowered its initial $10 billion target by 40%. SoftBank declined to comment. According to sources, SoftBank is still considering various financing options and may restart negotiations in the future. Yeah, they have lots of various financing options. Maybe they could borrow against their multi-billion dollar stake in WeWork. We don't talk about WeWork. Sorry. The primary reason for the stalled loan lies in the fact that OpenAI's valuation lacks a basis convincing enough for the banks. They don't trust the value of OpenAI, and they won't lend 10% against the shares. That is not a very big vote of confidence in OpenAI here. On one hand, OpenAI confidentially filed for an IPO with the U.S. SEC on June 8th and is working with Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley for a potential listing as early as this autumn. Following the news, some potential creditors have begun to view the loan more positively. Once public, OpenAI will have a fair market value, which is expected to significantly alleviate banks' concerns regarding the valuation of unlisted equity. But on the other hand, negative factors persist. The valuation of competitor Anthropic is rising rapidly, leading to market concerns about the erosion of OpenAI's market share. Combined with the inherent illiquidity of private assets, banks remain cautious about the quality of the collateral. The interplay of positive news and lingering doubts has led to a stalemate in the loan negotiations. The core of the market's concern lies in SoftBank's high leverage risk. To date, SoftBank's cumulative investments in OpenAI has exceeded $60 billion, with interest-bearing debt on a standalone basis totaling approximately $104 billion. SoftBank is so over-levered, it's ridiculous. On the positive side, the company's stake in the star performer Arm and Intel has nearly doubled year to date, and credit default swap spreads have narrowed recently, indicating some improvement in solvency. However, the hurdle facing the $6 billion loan has reignited investor doubts about SoftBank's liquidity management capabilities. Furthermore, even more problematic than the $6 billion loan is SoftBank's $40 billion unsecured bridge loan. This loan was arranged by JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs and three major Japanese banks and is set to mature in March of 2027. SoftBank previously stated it would repay the debt by utilizing existing assets and other financing measures. With the $6 billion pledge loan now stalled, how to repay this massive debt maturing within 2 years has become a pressing issue for SoftBank. And SoftBank shares are paying the price this morning, down almost 10%, $20.42 for SoftBank. Again, though, year to date, it's up 43.4% as the chip craze has gone bananas. But what was it? What was the number? $104 billion of interest-bearing debt for a company with a market cap of $232 billion. Yikes. Yikes. Not good. Meanwhile, we've got Supermicro stock tumbles on $7 billion financing plans as company touts AI server orders, along with multiple indictments of company executives and founders. But yeah, mostly the stuff about the server orders, sure. There's Charles Lang, who's probably needs to refill his wallet just in case the lawyer bills were to suddenly rise because, I don't know, maybe they're smuggling chips to China in violation of U.S. export controls. Supermicro Computer shares sank 9% in extended trading on Tuesday after the computer server maker announced $7 billion, that's about 20% dilution, in equity-related financing deals to help cover the cost of hardware component purchases. The company said it's planning $5 billion in underwritten stock offerings and a $2 billion at-the-market offering starting in July through arrangements with JP Morgan, Goldman, and Citigroup. Companies often see their share price drop after announcing stock sales, as investors prepare to see their existing holdings diluted in value. Supermicro is the latest company tied to the AI boom that's turning to financial markets for more capital. Earlier this month, Alphabet, which offers AI models and cloud infrastructure for model builders such as Anthropic, said it would sell $85 billion in stock, including a $10 billion investment from Berkshire Hathaway. Don't forget that Meta is also considering tens of billions of dollars in equity issuance. Supermicro said on Tuesday's statement that it's received $39 billion in AI server orders from more than 20 customers, probably in China, during the past few weeks, Demand for AI-related servers has been climbing sharply, probably in China, lifting Supermicro's revenue in the March quarter to over 100% from a year earlier. Dell said revenue from its infrastructure solutions group grew 181% year over year. Before the after-hours drop, Supermicro shares were up about 39% so far this year. In March, the company said a co-founder resigned from its board after he was named in a federal indictment over allegations of smuggling equipment containing NVIDIA AI chips into China. Yep, nobody saw that one coming. Supermicro stock down 12.5% now ahead of the opening bell, $35.50, down by $5. Why do people keep buying this shit? I don't get it. They had accounting fraud after accounting fraud, chip smuggling, self-dealing, round-tripping, founders indicted, now dilution. People keep buying this crap. It's like the question mark on Ron Burgundy's teleprompter. AI bros will buy anything as long as you stamp AI on it. The stock's now down 13%. Good luck with that one, guys. I hope your scam company does really well. Stock's still up 38% year to date. But look at what this thing's done over the last 5 years. Yeah, a little bit of volatility here. We've gone from what, $4 to $115, down to 16, back up to 58, down to 18, back up to the 50s, now in the mid 30s. Ultimately, this one is a goose egg, guys. Meanwhile, Crusoe pauses work on 1.8 gigawatt Cheyenne, Wyoming data center at the request of our customer, as the company touts their 5-gigawatt pipeline. Well, that 5-gigawatt pipeline used to be 6.8 gigawatts, but now it's 5 because the big one's shutting down here. Data center developer Crusoe has paused work on Project Jade, a massive campus planned for Cheyenne, Wyoming. The 1.8-gigawatt facility was announced last year with claims it could scale to 10 gigawatts. 10-gigawatt claims, maybe a little bit of foreshadowing there. Crusoe was working with Blackstone-backed energy company Tallgrass. At the request of our customer, Crusoe has paused its development activities, the company said in a statement. The company did not disclose the customer nor why it requested the pause. Let me help you out. It was almost certainly OpenAI because they can't raise the money to pay for it. At the same time, Crusoe said that it has contracted 4.9 gigawatts of data center infrastructure for Crusoe Cloud. It claimed that its total development pipeline, including contracted projects, sites under active tenant negotiation, and sites in advanced development, as well as sketches on the back of a napkin from the diner, exceed 40 gigawatts. The company's data center development portfolio, contracted to hyperscale clients, spans 5 data center campuses across the U.S. Its flagship site in Abilene, Texas, was developed for Oracle and OpenAI, but saw the customers pull out at the later stages due to delays. Customers pulling out again here. Microsoft ultimately picked up the remaining capacity at that site. Will Microsoft pick up the remaining capacity at this site? I don't know. If somebody doesn't backstop this whole industry and this whole build out, then this whole house of cards is going to come down. By the way, speaking of Oracle, guys, Oracle reports earnings after the close today. Keep an eye on that one. That could potentially be market moving. Look for Oracle to try to overlook how much money they're losing, how much debt they're taking on, how negative their free cash flow is, and focus instead on their total contracted backlog or whatever, that imaginary accounting statistic that doesn't even matter. But Oracle after the close, that'll be a big one too. And right as that 1.8, maybe even 10 gigawatt data center project is getting paused or canceled, well, we've got a soundbite about another one. OpenAI weighs leasing Ohio data center with NVIDIA backing, the information reports. You can't buy them all, NVIDIA. Sooner or later, you need a product that generates value for somebody. OpenAI is in talks to lease a proposed 10-gigawatt data center campus on federal land in Ohio in a deal that could include financial backing from NVIDIA, the information reported on Tuesday, citing two people with direct knowledge of the discussions. The campus could cost at least $500 billion to build. Sorry, that's half a trillion for anybody. I realize we're all getting used to big numbers being thrown around in this silly science fiction bubble, but that's a half a trillion dollars they're claiming. Who has that besides freaking nobody? That's based on current prices for chips, labor, power, and other inputs, all of which are skyrocketing in price. So that $500 trillion number is going to be a lot more by the time this thing actually gets built, which will never freaking happen because this is science fiction. OpenAI would control the equipment at the facility under a 20-year lease for equipment that only lasts for 4 years, but I digress, with payments starting once operations begin. The first phase is expected in 2028. Yeah, right. The facility, among the largest of its kind, would be developed by SB Energy, a unit of SoftBank, who just told us they can't raise any money, but somehow they're going to pay for $500 trillion and getting more expensive data center. Okay, good luck with that. NVIDIA is expected to supply hardware in the facility and provide financial guarantees for OpenAI's lease and SB Energy's financing, according to the report. NVIDIA is going to buy their own chips, and they're going to backstop the rental of their own chips. Round and round we go, Jensen. Take off that stupid jacket and get that thing dry cleaned already. It's got to smell dreadful by now. Guys, this bubble is just getting comical. Maybe today's the day it actually bursts. I mean, we've had some pretty big volatility, and volatility does typically mark the top. Maybe Oracle's earnings are enough to pop it. Maybe the OpenAI IPO flopping or SpaceX or Anthropic flopping will be enough to do it. But it just can't happen soon enough. And no, I'm not going to celebrate people losing money. I'm going to celebrate the end of this grotesque misallocation of capital, the biggest waste of money in history, which is not the next big thing or this technological revolution. It's just the inevitable result of a central bank that injected trillions of dollars of easy money. And when money is easy, it gets wasted. The biggest expansion of money supply in history, the biggest waste of capital in history. The two are one in the same. And it just needs to end. It's got to end before too many people get hurt. It's already too late for most people. Everyone and their brothers invested in this bubble, whether they realize it or not. It's why I've been trying to warn people about this so often, so over and over again. I know a lot of you guys probably rolling your eyes at this, but for crying out loud, it's got to stop before it gets any worse. Hey, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm on your way out. Thank you also to my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee for supporting the channel. You guys are awesome. Links down below should you feel so inclined. I'm Mom, I'm Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.